Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Barbara. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming. We celebrate and honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We've sought to celebrate and praise and thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for the grace of God that saves us. Thank you for the grace of God that forgives us. Thank you for the grace of God that gives us life. And so today we pray that you might bless us with your presence as you have already, and yet speak to us from your word. We pray for those who are friends who have come here today, who have heavy burdens and who are troubled in life, who do not know what direction to go. May they find that in Jesus there is real life. So, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being together in the sweet spirit that we sense in this place, and we thank you now for all that you do for us. We celebrate you and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Romans chapter 6 in your Bible. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest, we're honored to have you, and we're pleased that you would come and worship with us today. If we can do anything for you, please let us know. While you're finding your place in the New Testament book of Romans, again, let me remind you, all of you sweethearts, remember Valentine's Day is coming, all of our couples, no pressure on the men in the room, no pressure, but my wife Pat and I would love, along with the rest of our staff, to invite you. We're going to have a great Valentine's banquet right here in this room. It'll all be set up beautifully and have a wonderful dinner together. And so we want you to come. So please register. Please come. We had a great group last year. We need your reservation so that we can prepare the proper amount of food, and it'll be a good time. We don't have the opportunity very often for just the couples in our church together, young and old, and celebrate Valentine's Day together. So I hope you'll do that and make an effort to be with us. And also tonight is the Lord's Supper, so we call for the church. We hope that you'll gather with us at the Lord's table. Romans chapter 6 is where we'll be looking today as we're thinking about God's grace and my mess. So when we think about the reality of the Bible and where we are in our lives, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Everybody here, all of us, all around the world, we've learned over the last few weeks that sin and death plague and control and rule the world, rule the people's minds. Sin is reigning, and when you sin, it leads to death, spiritual death, and eventually physical death for all who do not know Jesus. So we've been learning about God's grace that steps in, and God's grace is greater than our sin, greater than our mess. So we come to know Jesus and trust him. So would you stand, please, as we think about God's grace and our mess? Paul is going to talk to us about, okay, those of us who've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we've accepted, and we are now recipients of the grace of God. How are we supposed to live under God's grace and rule and authority? All right, three verses. Verse number 12, Romans 6. Therefore, do not, Christian, do not let sin reign in your body, in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body, hands, feet, eyes, mouth, will, emotions. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members, all the parts of your physical body, as instruments of righteousness to God. Now here's the focal verse for today. For sin, Christian friends, shall not be master over you. For you are not under law. Here's the good news. You're under grace. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, may my words be pleasing to Jesus as we seek to glorify you, and help us today, oh, help us today, to understand what it means to be under the grace of God and under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might live free, joyous, abundant lives in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So while you have your Bibles out, Paul is trying to challenge us to a new way of thinking. Look, if you've come to know Jesus, you now are a new person. You're alive. We're going to talk about that in a minute, from the dead. And the reality is you have to think in a new way. It's similar to a man who's been in prison for many, many years, been told what to do, what time to get up, what time to eat, time to go to bed, incarcerated, a slave to the system of the penitentiary. But when he's released, he has freedom, has to learn a new way to think, has to learn a new way to act, has to learn a new way to discipline himself. When you and I have come to know Jesus Christ and we have been saved by God's grace, by our faith, here's the reality. We have to think in a new way. So notice in your Bible some of these words. Paul says in verse number 6, knowing this, all right, church, if you're a follower of Jesus, here's something you need to know. Your old self was crucified with Jesus in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. We'll talk more about that in a moment. So there's the first thing we need to know. In verse number 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. But death no longer is master over Jesus. Death has no hold on Jesus. Jesus is risen from the dead. Then he says in verse 11, here's something else for us to consider in our minds. Consider yourselves, put in your mind that you are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 14, sin shall not be master over you. You are under grace. Let me make just a couple of observations. First of all, number one, we need to remember that those of us who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ now live under God's grace. So you read it there in verse 14. We are under grace. Under grace means under the authority, under the power of grace. We live in America under our flag, under the Constitution, under the responsibilities we have as American citizens. We're Americans under the flag and Constitution and all that it means to be an American. When you come to know Jesus, you're under God's grace. You're under God's grace and the grace of Jesus Christ. You can never appreciate God's grace until you come to understand the seriousness of sin. It's a very serious thing. The seriousness of sin. Notice in chapter 6, verse 14. Here's our focus. Sin shall not be your master if you're a follower of Jesus. So for a moment, we want to think about this beautiful, powerful thing of being under God's grace. I have three observations. I'll make them quick, but I want you to hear me. The next one that I want you to consider is this. We have to remember the importance of the fact that we're no longer slaves to sin. Under God's grace. So what does it mean for me to be under God's grace? It means I'm not a slave to sin anymore. So I've put here on the screen these verses, and I've underlined several very important phrases from these three verses. Please look at them for a moment. Let me just comment on them quickly. Under God's grace, those of us who know Jesus now, if you know Jesus, you're not a slave anymore to sin. But see, we forget that what we do by nature, born into this world, we don't think of it as slavery. We think we're free. See, this is the irony. There are people out there today who lived it up last night, who lived it up and went crazy, who did a lot of things that they don't want to talk about today. In fact, some of them can't even wake up yet today because of what they did. They're having trouble, having a hard time. Why? There's even a movement in America that we need to have a holiday the day after the Super Bowl because so many people have been so inebriated, they need a day to get back to rest. How about that for a holiday? So we think we're free. Do whatever you want. Go with whoever you want. Think whatever you want. Take whatever you want. Be with whoever you want. And we think that's freedom. The reality is, it's slavery to sin. And so the Bible says to those of us who are followers of Jesus, you see, you have to change your thinking. That's the way we used to think. The way we used to think is we would live to satisfy our lust. Notice it's here in your Bible, verse number 12. Do not let sin reign in your body so that you obey its lust. Now, I'm looking around here today, and I've done this every hour. I think I'm 100% correct. I'm looking around at bodies of people in this room. There are bodies in here. Look around. Look at all these bodies in here. Real bodies that have eyes, ears, nose, mouth, minds, will, emotions, hands, feet, bodies. See, God cares about what we do with our body, because what we do with our body, this is very important. The inside part of us that's in sin works with getting our bodies to do bad things. You see, obeying the lusts of sin, that means obeying sinful urges. You see, every one of us wakes up in this world. This is what I mean by freedom. That's really slavery. People wake up and say, well, they have an urge to do something here, an urge or a desire for this, or they have a passion or impulses for a certain thing. Starts on the inside. And they've done these things over and over and over. They're so used to doing them, they just think it's natural and normal. No, no, no. When you come to know Jesus, all of a sudden you're confronted by the urges and the desires that you have. You see, you don't appreciate how powerful sin is in your life. Listen, until you start saying, no, I'm not going to give in to that urge anymore. I'm not going to give in to that desire anymore. I'm not going to give in to that passion anymore. I'm not going to obey lust. I'm not going to do it. And when you're a follower of Jesus, you start saying no to those urges. You don't go on presenting your members for sin. You start thinking about what you're looking at with your eyes. Oh my, has this changed? Not just a television, not just a movie theater, but your mobile device. What are you looking at with your eyes? Well, I've got to. Really? Do you? Do you? Do you have that urge that you cannot turn off to see what you shouldn't see? Oh, what about what you hear? Yeah, and in the old days, you know, when I was a preacher in the old days, we used to talk about the way you solve gossip is to cut the phone lines. Who in the world has a phone line anymore? But what do you hear? What do you listen to? What do you have an urge just to hear a little bit more of? You know, the old flesh loves to hear about somebody we don't like having a hard time. It just kind of tickles us a little bit. We like that. We have an urge to hear something new, something of a secret, an urge to take our bodies and do things with our bodies that are immoral and improper, urges to eat and overeat, urges to drink, and urges to consume drugs. Therefore, you're a follower of Jesus. You are under grace. Do not allow sin to reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. Do not go on presenting your members. You see, that means I've got to get rid of some things in my life. Certain things I'm not going to look at on my devices, on my television. Certain things I'm not going to listen to anymore. Certain people I can't associate with anymore. Certain places I cannot go anymore. I am not going to go to places and present myself before these experiences and people that will cause me to sin. So first of all, those under grace, slavery to sin is broken. You know, we think about animals having their patterns and behavior. You know, men and women who are in sin have the same pattern. They urge and desire and long and lust for these things. They have pride and arrogance, and then they go out and fulfill it, and then they have and then they want more of it, and then they keep trying to get it to satisfy them, and it never satisfies them. Slavery to sin is what Paul's talking about in Romans 5:21 when he says sin reigned in death. You know what the death cycle is? Wanting more of what you want and never being satisfied. Wanting more of what you want and never being satisfied. But one day you heard about Jesus and all of a sudden you said, I got to change. I've got to get out of this death cycle. I've got to do something different in my life. And you came and you trusted Jesus, and someone helped you to believe by faith, and you trusted God, and all of a sudden you became a new person, which leads me to the next principle. You have to remember that under grace, you are alive. You're alive now. Oh, I don't just mean breathing physically. You see, before, when you were without Jesus, the Bible says you're dead in your sin. You don't have a desire for the things of God. You don't have a desire to pray. You don't have a desire for spiritual things. You don't want any of that. But all of a sudden, something happens when God comes into your life, and when you're saved and you come under God's grace and the control of the Holy Spirit and the Bible and God's Word, you get around God's people, you sense something different there, a different feeling, a different atmosphere, and in that, you come to life. You come to life. So we read in verse number 13, you have to come presenting yourself to God alive. Fully alive. You know what it means to be fully alive? It means that now you have come to be, because of being born again, a full person again. Your spirit is alive. You desire spiritual things. Your mind, will, and emotions now have a choice. You can follow God's way. You have a new nature inside. And now your body will fulfill godly things based on what you desire, based on what you follow on those impulses, because now you're fully alive. You know, I don't need to do that anymore. All of a sudden, your want to changes. You don't want to do those things you used to do. You know, what happens to Christians is when we get away from the Lord sometimes in sin, we want the things we used to want. We go back. And we want things that are not honorable to God. We want that, and so we must confess our sin. Paul says, and I have an error on the screen here, the second verse is Romans 6:11. Consider yourself to be dead. So now those things that used to drive me, those urges I used to have to do sin, you know what I say now? I'm dead to it. I'm not going to listen to that juicy talk from people about somebody else that's destructive. I'm not going to say destructive things like I used to say. I am not going to perform and do things with my body that I used to do that are dishonorable to God and to others. I am saying, no, I'm dead to sin. I'm not going to be bossed around, dominated, mastered, and bullied by sin. And so the Bible says, back up in verse 4, we use this verse. You heard Todd and Pastor Ken talking about it today, about baptism. Baptism, we saw it. We saw the very thing in front of our eyes today. Therefore, having been buried with him through baptism. Baptism in the water is the picture of what happens to me spiritually on the inside. Buried in death. I am now dead. Here's Jacob down here. He's dead. The old Jacob's dead. He's alive now in Jesus. Fully alive. So when you come to know Jesus, look, you're more alive now than you've ever been. And that's what people want in the world. They want life, and yet the death cycle of wanting more and sinning more only leads to death. The only way you can have real life is to know Jesus. One last thing. You change under grace what you present to God. I want you to think about this. Under God's grace, this is my last point and then we'll be done. Under God's grace, now we present our bodies to God's purposes. All right. So I've got this body, and I read in verse number 13, don't go on presenting. See, it's the natural thing for the body to present itself to the desires inside to do. You see, your body does what you dictate on the inside. Jesus said, a man is not unclean by what he puts in his mouth. A man is unclean by what comes out of his heart. out of the abundance of your heart, listen, you talk. Did you know you can really read people's minds? Did you know that? All you have to do is listen to what they talk about. That's all you got to do. Boys and girls, here's the way you can read your parents' minds. Listen to what they talk about. What people talk about is what's on the inside, what matters. So don't go on presenting your body to sin. Here I am. I'm going to fulfill all of this sin in my life. I'm going to do what I've been doing for all of my life. No. Present yourself now alive to God from the dead. And guess what? Your members as members of righteousness. So let me get very practical. That means I'm going to now have a mouth that's used for only one purpose. The righteousness of God. No unrighteous stuff is going to come out of this mouth anymore. Oh, is anybody like me? Your mouth gets you in trouble. Oh, does anybody have trouble with your mouth? That's why I started there. I'm not going to let my ears be a cause. I'm not going to let these instruments, boys and girls, what you listen to is important. We listen to godly things and spiritual things and honorable things and our parents and our Bibles. We listen to the right things. I'm not going to present, my ears are not going to listen. I will remove myself from those places where I'm listening to things that do not help me spiritually, but only bring death to me. I'm not going to look at things that bring me back to spiritual death. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to present my eyes, my mouth, my ears, my will, my emotions, my desires, I'm going to present them to God alive. And here's what I'm going to do. Three things. Daily by prayer, I'm going to present myself as God's possession. Look, if you know Jesus Christ today, the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. And you know what? We've learned this before. You are now possessed by God. We should live as people possessed by God. That means that my mind, my will, and my emotions aren't about my own selfish desires anymore. Oh, no, I'm alive from the dead. I'm under grace. You see, I'm under another, not under sin, not under selfishness. I'm under grace. So now, I am God's possession, and I am possessed by God. Secondly, daily by prayer, I have to present my body alive. Most of us here today are breathing. I think everybody's breathing pretty much in this room. You're physically alive, but are you spiritually alive? If you are spiritually alive and you're born again, you present yourself every day. You know, we want to worship God. We do. Steve leads us. We have a great opportunity to worship God here together. But listen, I appeal to you, all of my friends. I appeal to this church. Your first act of worship every day is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your body. All of you, spirit, soul, and body, to God as a living and holy sacrifice. You lay it down. That is your spiritual service of worship. I can't take it back. You see, I can't sacrifice my body to other things anymore. I am now a follower of Jesus. I'm under grace. So I am his possession. So I present myself to God. I'm yours. Here I am. Lord, you made me the way I am. Here I am. Do whatever you can with what you got here. Here I am. I'm ready now to sacrifice myself. And one last thing. We read it in verse number 19 of chapter 6. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Paul says, for just as you presented your members, your body, slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness. You know, it doesn't take me standing here to give you a lecture about addiction. It's real. It's real. The power to control your mind. The power to control what you consume. The power to cause you to talk like you talk and go where you go. It's addiction. It's powerful. Addiction is the saddest but most clear picture of slavery. It is not being able to, I'm going to make it simple, lay down your phone. What would happen? What would happen if you lost your phone today? Would you be able to make it today, church? Would you just fall apart? Why? Those of us who are old people, what did you ever do in life without your phone before there were such things? Or that food you have to have, or those pills you have to have. Oh, it's a serious thing. America is gripped by slavery to desire and urges and impulses. When you're under grace, you come to God and say, I am dead to these things, and I am your slave. I am your slave. Jesus said it this way, and I'm done. He said, I only say what God wants me to say. I only go where the Lord wants me, where the God the Father wants me to go, and I only do what the Father wants me to do. Three things. So if I'm going to be God's slave, Romans 6:19, and present my body to Him, here's what I say every morning, Lord, I am here today. Thank you for another day of life. And I present myself as best I can as a living, holy sacrifice. I am possessed by you. The Holy Spirit possesses me. And now, what do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? And what do you want me to do? When we live like that, we experience the promise or the challenge of verse 14. Sin shall not be master over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, those of us who know Jesus, we must hear your word clearly today. Oh, may we hear your word. Lord, may sin not be master over the dear people who have been here all day long. May sin no longer be master over their life, driving them by the urges of the flesh to be critical or to be hateful or to be unloving or to be angry or to be immoral or to be ungodly. Whatever it may be, oh Lord, may sin no longer be master over us. We're under grace. May we then come to you and present ourselves to you. All right, this morning, some of you may be here and you need to do, you know, those people who were baptized, they started years ago, many of them, many months ago. They came forward in a service just like this and said to this church, I am ready to follow Jesus. I need to change my life. I need to follow the Lord. And they came and we talked with them and worked with them. The pastors did. And then when it was time, they stood in those waters to declare that they are a disciple of Jesus, a committed follower of Jesus as best they can. Are you here this morning and you need to make that public decision? Are there addictions and urges and desires driving and dominating you and grinding you into the ground? If you're a follower of Jesus, sin shall not be master over you. You are under grace. You must live differently. Starting today. If you need to join this church, whatever it is, today the Holy Spirit has spoken to us from His Word. He has spoken to us through our singing. He has been with us to talk to us. What thoughts are you having, friend? What is it you need to do about your spiritual life? Well, that's what we do. That's what we do in this church. We stand, we sing, we invite people to make spiritual decisions they need to make public. And some of you do. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. We want you to come. So let's stand together. We're going to sing for just a moment. We invite you to come. We sing this old song, Without Him, I Can Do Nothing. But if you need to come, come take one of the pastors. Come see us.